And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What?
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Santa Barbara and Ventura Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is things aren't always what they seem. My guests are talking about how things are different than we imagine them. My next guest is a journalist and media watcher. He grew up in the media generation and has a unique perspective on how the media brainwashes us. He'll explain his findings from his book, Primetime Propaganda. If you want to call in and ask a question or speak to my guest, you can call us at 639-0008. Ben Shapiro was born in 1984. He entered UCLA at the age of 16. And he graduated summa cum laude and Phi Beta Kappa with a BA in political science. He graduated Harvard Law School cum laude in June of 2007. He was hired by Creators Syndicate at the age of 17 to become the youngest nationally syndicated columnist in the United States. He has been the subject of articles in the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, Associated Press. The list goes on and on and on. He is the author of the national bestsellers Brainwashed, How Universities Indoctrinate America's Youth, Porn Generation, How Social Liberalism is Corrupting Our Future, and Project President, Bad Hair and Botox on the Road to the White House. Ben is married and currently runs the Benjamin Shapiro Legal Consulting Firm based in Los Angeles. Joining us from there. Hi, Ben. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing terrific. Thanks. You believe that Hollywood has got an open secret. It's a liberal bias in its program. So go ahead, state your case for us.
You know, it is amazing, you know, how these people opened up to me when I wrote Primetime Propaganda. You know, I was hired by HarperCollins to write the book, and I started to go around doing these interviews, and they were very open in the fact that they, you know, discriminated against conservatives and the fact they pushed a liberal agenda through their television programming, and through the fact that, you know, they even worked with the government to do so. So, you know, I think the real message of Primetime Propaganda is that the right needs to wake up and the left needs to stop discriminating and the middle needs to figure out what it is that it's watching.
Well, and we'll address all three of those things in just a minute. But I found it fascinating what got you walking down this road or down this path is your own personal story when you tried to shop around an episode for a primetime television show. Tell us that story and how that really awakened you to write this book.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I was hired to write the book before that actually happened.
Oh, okay.
As I was going along doing the book, I was under the misimpression that discrimination against conservatives in Hollywood was largely nonsense. I thought that it was generally overstated, that, you know, it was really all about the money. If you're talented, you could work. Well, then as I was doing the book, one of the people who I interviewed was Leonard Goldberg. Leonard Goldberg is the producer of Blue Bloods on CBS, and he's also he was Aaron Spelling's partner, one of the biggest producers in Hollywood. He and I got along well. He said, why don't you write me a pilot based on your experiences at Harvard Law School? And I said, okay, sure. You know, the fact is that in Hollywood, if you write a network television pilot, you are making $30,000 an episode of television without residuals. So, you know, when somebody asks you to write a pilot, you write a pilot, right? So,
right.
So he says, write a pilot. I go ahead and I write a pilot. Then I go out and I get an agent. Well, the agent that I get is the top agent in town. Everything's going swimmingly. Until about 3 weeks later, the agent comes to me and says, you know, I'm not sure we can represent you. And I said, okay, why is that? He said, well, you know, one of our lower-level agents Googled you, found your website. I'm not sure that anyone of your political persuasion can ever get work in Hollywood. It turned out the reason that he was saying that is because they'd started distributing my stuff, getting it around to a few different, you know, people in the industry. And one of them had liked it and Googled me, found my stuff, and called up the agent and said, you know, I will not work with anybody who thinks like that. And that kind of provided renewed impetus to focus on that issue in particular, and to really uncover and dig.
All right. Well, Ben, my guest is Ben Shapiro. I want to stop you right there because traditional values are portrayed on TV shows all the time, like Seventh Heaven, The Cosby Show, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, you know, what's going on here? There's not that total liberal bias, is there?
Well, there are exceptions rather than the rule. So with regard to Seventh Heaven, I mean, I can tell you a great story about Seventh Heaven.
Sure.
Brent Bozell is a, you know Brent Bozell. He's Parents Television Council and, you know, Media Research Center. Well, Brent, you know, he and I were sitting and talking, and I asked him about Seventh Heaven. He said, you know, he had pre-screened Seventh Heaven. The original version of Seventh Heaven, the original pilot of Seventh Heaven, it had one of the characters, one of the girls, I can't remember which one, talking about how she really wanted to learn how to kiss. Right, she didn't know how to kiss, and she was really curious about it, and she really wanted to learn. And so what the original scriptwriters had was her brother offering to teach her how to kiss. Okay, this is how Hollywood thinks of religious people. We are literally like a bunch of deliverance folks are stooping our sisters in the backyard, right? I mean, this is, and Brent had to tell them, you know, guys, this is really offensive and horrible, right? I mean, this is really terrible. In the same episode, by the way, you know, you had one of the girls in the family who was desperate to get her period because she didn't want to lag behind the other girls at school. And then at the end of the episode, she's in the bathroom and you hear this kind of scream of triumph and everybody in the house starts smiling. And Brent said, you know, this is kind of gross. You know, why are you doing this? But this is their view of religious people and right-wing people. And eventually, you know, they asked Brent to be an advisor on the show and to help out with some of, you know, help us understand these crazy, kooky people who live in the middle of the country. So even shows like Seventh Heaven, which ended up being it ended up being a very popular show. You know, it only became a popular show because of the influence of talk radio and conservative media. If the left had had its way, it probably would have been off the air within a season because it just would have been ridiculous.
Well, let me hit the pause button because we've had Stephen Collins, who was the star of that show, on the network here, and we've talked to him several times about it. He is, you know, obviously represents those same values. I don't think he would have done a show that didn't really reflect conservative values. Isn't that fair to say?
You know, you never know. I mean, I don't want to speak for him.
Okay.
There are a lot of actors in town who, you know, who are right-wing who would absolutely do a liberal show, right? I mean, because there's a lot of money to be made. The fact is that, you know, even if you assume that Seventh Heaven is a conservative show, it is by far the exception rather than the rule. I mean, look at CW now. I mean, it was on the WB network when it was broadcast. Now you look at CW, and it shows like Vampire Diaries, and it shows like Gossip Girl, and it shows like 90210, right? I mean, it's turned into absolute trash. And it was at the time, too. I mean, Seventh Heaven was the exception. It was kind of the Waltons to the rest of the networks, All in the Family.
Mm, all right. Well, fair enough. My guest is Ben Shapiro. Primetime Propaganda is his book. And, Ben, you were born in 1984, so really you've grown up when the fair and balanced doctrine was abolished. It was abolished, I believe, in 1986, so you were 2 years old. No longer do networks have to present both sides of the spectrum. And in fact, there are entire networks devoted to conservative views that are out there. So if people want their staple of conservative views, you have places to go to get that. So talk to me, you know, what stops in radio? Let me take it a step further. In radio, the conservatives were very smart. I mean, they got together and said, all right, we can bandy up a bunch of radio stations and have a conservative network. And really, radio, or at least talk radio, is very, very conservative in this country. What stops television networks from doing the same thing? Because the fair and balanced doctrine's out the window. Why doesn't somebody like a Rupert Murdoch come in and say, I am going to spend a lot of money, buy up a bunch of stations across the country, and make it into a conservative network?
Well, I think this is really a key point, which is that when we watch TV, we're not watching it for the politics. What we want to watch is good stuff. We don't care whether it's right-wing, left-wing, or anything. All we really care about is whether it's entertaining. If you make a really boring, family-friendly show, no one's going to watch it. Whereas if you make an incredibly entertaining, non-family-friendly show, a lot of people are going to watch it. So it's important to recognize that a conservative network would actually fail because we don't have our political radar on when we watch entertainment television the same way we do when we watch news. The reason Fox News succeeds is because this stuff is explicitly politically oriented, right? When you watch the news, you know you're watching politics.
Right.
When you watch entertainment, you're not thinking about politics. You're thinking about, is it funny? Is it interesting? Are these characters likable? Right. And so it's important that that comes first. The funny, interesting characters are likable rather than the politics.
All right, Ben, but aren't you selling the American public short that we don't have our critical thinking on, that we can't differentiate between fact and fiction and sort of read between the lines?
I would say that I might be, except for the fact that polling shows I'm not. I don't know if you saw this Gallup poll that came out about three weeks ago, showed that 34% of Americans thought that at least 25% of the population of America is gay. Another 17% thought at least 20% of the population was gay. A full 78% of Americans thought that at least 10% of the population was gay. Only 4% of Americans correctly identified that just 2% of the population is gay. Now, why is that relevant? Because the only place that people get their information with regard to gay rights is generally entertainment television. There's only one place in America where 20 to 25% of the population is gay, and that's on entertainment television. And so that's been unbelievably effective at convincing people that, you know, your next-door neighbor is gay, even though the chances of your next-door neighbor being gay are probably 1 in 50, right? I mean,
right.
So it does have a tremendous impact, especially on soft social issues like that. I mean, the whole principle is very simple for the left here. It's not that they're going to ram it down your throat. It's not that they're going to be super obvious about it. The whole point is that to create characters who you like and want to hang out with and want to be friends with and spend time with, you know, characters who in many cases, sadly enough, you're spending more time with than your own family. Then they have those characters do things that you disagree with. They have those characters do things that are, you know, morally reprehensible. And then, but you're still watching because it's entertaining. And then they turn around and they say to you, how can you possibly be anti-gay marriage if you enjoy Will and Grace? How can you possibly be against unwed motherhood if you like Friends? And if you watch Rachel get pregnant by Ross and not marry him, and you think that they, and you still watch that show and enjoy that show. Right? They make you feel guilty for having watched these entertainment shows, and they basically guilt you into supporting certain social agendas the same way that they guilt you into supporting gay marriage if you have a gay brother, gay sister, or gay friend.
All right. My guest is Ben Shapiro, author of the book Primetime Propaganda, The True Hollywood Story of How the Left Took Over Your Television. And, Ben, I want to challenge you a little bit on this and say, you know, if you consider TV art, and I know that that might be a stretch, but let's for the moment do consider that it's art. Art has always pushed the boundaries. I mean, it goes to give you extreme examples to help to make a point. And if there's nothing extreme, as you've pointed out, then there's no interest there. There's no drama. And there's nothing that people are going to be wanting to watch time and time again. So if you treat television as art, it doesn't matter whether it was Dadaism in painting or whether it was, you know, a neoclassical in architecture. All of the things have been pushing the boundary. Isn't television just pushing its boundary?
Well, there's a difference between pushing the style and pushing the morality. Now, I think that, you know, you're right that outsiders tend to be the ones who participate in art. But at this point, believe it or not, it's conservatives who are the cultural outsiders. So why don't we see all of a sudden a conservative renaissance in terms of the entertainment industry? Right now, the left has achieved everything that it wants in this country, right? I mean, they've got abortion on demand. They've got gay marriage, which is now in the ascendant. I mean, clearly, because, you know, California, New York, you name it. It's going to, sadly enough, it's going to become a reality in many states around the nation very, very quickly. And you know, the left is getting what it wants. You know, you don't see conservatives who are engaging in art in the same way, at least not in Hollywood. And that's due to active discrimination. So yeah, you're right to say that a lot of creators are left. And you're right to say that there's a tendency to rebel against authority. But I think it's important to recognize that even the original rebellions against authority, if you look historically, rebellions against authority require an authority to be there. They require some sort of authority to kick back against. Right now, television is kicking it back against an authority that does not exist. They're kicking back against people who are not in power. They're not speaking truth to power. They are representatives of the establishment at this point.
Well, now, the FCC has its own morals board, and they review television as it's going on, Ben. So, you know, where are they stepping in? Where are they setting the boundaries for television?
Well, they're not. The FCC's a joke. I mean, the FCC has always – look, you have to either take a completely libertarian position with regard to television, or if you're going to say that the FCC has the power to regulate morality on television, they actually have to do something. Right now, they're not even regulating indecency on television. I'm talking not only about sexual content and violent content. I'm talking about just plain cursing. They're not doing anything about it. The Obama administration has said beforehand they weren't going to do anything about it. And when the FCC tried to crack down, there was major hubbub. Remember this, under the Bush administration, for example, when the FCC fined the I think it was CBS broadcasting the Super Bowl for the Janet Jackson thing, right?
Right.
There's all sorts of hubbub. You know, how could they possibly find them? Well, you know, because she's showing a boob on national television. How about that? Nobody seems to care about that. So the fact that the FCC is not doing its job, you know, and has never really done its job. The FCC is a government agency. Bottom line, FCC is a government agency. The government has an interest in pursuing leftist politics because leftist politics increase the power and scope of government. And so the FCC, from the very beginning, has been an agency devoted to pushing kind of social justice messages on television. And Newton Minow, who was the FCC commissioner under JFK, he said,
right,
we are going to regulate television more heavily unless I start seeing basically messages that I like on the TV screen. So, you know, my view is that the FCC shouldn't really be regulating any of this stuff as a general matter. I think that the market really should take care of it, and we should get rid of virtually all regulation on television. Simply because I feel that in a free market system, we actually will win, but this isn't a free market.
All right. My guest is Ben Shapiro. And, Ben, I like your libertarian thinking about that. But let me just say that the pendulum swings both ways, and it has gone, if you look at it historically over time. So I'm going to ask you to step back and look at it, because in the 1940s and 50s, we had the McCarthy hearings. We had Lucy and Desi were sleeping in separate beds. A lot of restrictions on morality there. I think that you correctly identified the Kennedy administration when things started to change. But even within that, the Nixon administration came in and things got a little bit stricter again. So I think that the pendulum swings back and forth. Give me your historical perspective looking at this.
It does swing a little bit back and forth, but it's kind of like the ripples on a sea where the entire sea is moving, right? I mean, it moves back and forth. Well, a better analogy would be, you're right, the pendulum swings back and forth, but the pendulum is sitting on a desk that's moving in one direction, right? So So the whole ground, the whole sea change in the industry is moving in one direction. The kind of variations year to year are not as important as the total transformation of the industry. So yeah, if you look historically, look at 1950s TV. You had conservative executives and liberal creators, and what came out was basically middle of the road television.
Right. Right?
It was traditional moral television. It was basically apolitical and anodyne. By the time you hit the real beginning here is the assassination of JFK. I think with the assassination of JFK, you see in society a real ground shift in terms of the liberalism that it was pursuing. So instead of liberalism being an aspirational mentality, it became a pessimistic mentality where we were going to tear down everything that was around us. And that's why you see so much negativism, from the left after the JFK assassination for really the next 20 years about, in some ways lasting until today. In television at the same time, a lot of the executives who were conservative were being replaced by liberals. So by mid-1960s, you have a lot of people who are pulling in the same direction in TV. The real shift in the industry, though, happens in 1970-71.
Nope, Ben, are you there? We're losing you.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay,
I'm
good. You're back.
The reason for that is because there were three networks at the time, CBS, ABC, NBC.
Right.
CBS was winning the ratings war. ABC was losing the ratings war. CBS was winning with programming like Beverly Hillbillies, Green Acres, and Petticoat Junction,
mm-hmm.
right? Not left-wing stuff. What happened is that ABC had to come up with some justification for why advertisers ought to spend money with ABC as opposed to with CBS. And what they came up with was some basically very weak social science research that showed that 18 to 49-year-olds who lived in urban areas were the best consumers. So they went to advertisers and they said, sure, we have less people watching, but the people that we do have watching are more important than the people that CBS has watching. See, ABC starts having a little bit of success with that because the advertising agencies are largely staffed by young urban liberals. So when people tell them that those are the best consumers, they think, yeah, sure, we're the best consumers. And so they buy into that. CBS, in an attempt to head them off, and also because the executives themselves wanted more left-wing content on TV, and they admitted that to me, bought into that model. They replaced all of those, kind of rural, what they called rural junk, with All in the Family, MASH, and Mary Tyler Moore. So they replaced it with a lot of kind of heavily liberal-leaning, urban-oriented shows. That shifts television in a major way. And then over the next 30 years, you have kind of a little bit of back and forth, but largely television has stayed at the same political tenor. During the 80s, it got a little bit less overtly liberal. During the late 80s and 90s, it got much more liberal. By the time you hit the 2000s, it shifts a little bit back toward the center. But overall, TV has remained basically about as left as it was in 1971.
All right. My guest is Ben Shapiro, author of the book Primetime Propaganda, The True Hollywood Story of How the Left Took Over Your TV. Ben, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book?
I think that I want different crowds to take away different things. I want liberals to take away that there should be no discrimination in the industry, period. Just because you don't agree with somebody politically doesn't mean that if they're talented, they shouldn't be able to work. So I've really called on liberals in the industry, including Norman Lear, who I spoke with a week ago, to condemn political discrimination in the television industry. I want moderates to take away the fact that what they're watching in their entertainment is purposeful propaganda, because most moderates don't even think about it. They just watch TV and they assume that what's being shown on their TV is accurate, even though it really isn't. It reflects a certain part of American life and transforms everybody else. So that's for moderates. For conservatives, I want them to recognize the power of television. We tend to ignore entertainment as conservatives. We tend to pretend that it doesn't matter, that we can just ignore it, that we can turn off the TV. The fact is, we're not going to turn off the TV. We're not going to turn the channel if it's good. And the left has used this tool against us for so long that there's no reason why we need to recognize the power of emotion. The right is constantly, we are the people of reason, they are the people of emotion. Only one problem with that. When it comes right down to it, emotion is about 10 times more powerful than reason. You get married based on emotion. You have kids based on emotion. You draw up your will and cut your kids out of your will based on emotion. Right? The whole deal, emotion drives us with regard to politics. It drives us with regard to voting, and it certainly drives us with regard to values. So if we want to compete in this sector, we need to spend our time and our money and our effort here. And that's why, simultaneous with the launch of the book, I joined up with a 501c3 called Declaration Entertainment. And we're actually going to be making conservative-oriented entertainment. We're going to put our money where our mouth is. Well, my buddy Jeremy Boring is down on the border right now filming a movie that's basically a cross between No Country for Old Men and High Noon. That's a great character-oriented action drama. And it happens to have a point to make about illegal immigration.
Well, we can't wait to see it, Ben, when it comes out. We'll have to have you back in the future. You're a delight to have as a guest. Thank you so much for being my guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road, Ben.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.